I'd like to welcome you to our monthly Mission One podcast. My name is Jim Pratt. I'm Mission One coordinator as well as director of engagement for General Baptist Ministries. Privileged today to have a young man by the name of Tyler Gilman with us. Tyler, say hi and introduce our audience.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Tyler Gilman, and I am the youth pastor at Generation Church in Portland, Tennessee, and I am happy to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Tyler. Our focus this month is on, and last month we talked about what it means to be missional, and this month what we're talking about is leaving a missional legacy. Tyler, tell our audience about a trip you took and where you took it to the last weekend of January.
Yes, sir. So this past January, I was able to go on my first mission trip. For context, I'm 30 years old. So
I was 30 once.
Yeah. not too long ago, though.
That's right.
But yeah, I was able to go on my first mission trip with some people here from our church and from our organization. And for me, it wasn't just a mission trip, because the place that we went to was actually very special and dear to my heart and my family's heart, and it was in Honduras. So powerful trip, and excited to talk about that today.
Just for context, about almost 26 years to the day, an event happened that forever changed Tyler's family. January 25th, 1998. Tyler's grandfather, Rudy Braswell. At that point, Tyler, how many trips had he taken to Honduras?
Let's see. He started, I'm wanting to say, at least, I would say, 5 to maybe 8 trips, I would say, up to that point. Because okay. I know total trips, it was in, 15, 20 trips total that he went on. So I would say at least around there.
Okay, so his final trip, January 25th, 1998, he was taking the guard home that was working there, I think at Faith Home there in Honduras, and he was turning left to go into a community called Pimienta, and a truck hit him in the side, and Tyler's grandfather passed away. Tyler, how old were you when your grandpa died?
I was 4 years old. I would have been 5 that year. So my birthday's in May, so he passed away in January. So I was almost 5 years old.
Do you remember anything about your grandpa?
Very vaguely, truthfully. Not a whole lot, but one thing I do remember is, through my upbringing is the stories and sure. how he impacted people. From that point on, my entire life, I've heard stories of his ministry and, more importantly, who he was as a person, and the legacy that he left behind here. And so I've a lot of stories, some funny. I do remember my entire life and childhood hearing stories about him. But personally, remembering him very vaguely.
How did your mother, of course, after your mom's dad, how mm-hmm. did she feel when you told her you were going to be coming to Honduras?
I had to sit on that news for a week, because when I found out, my mom was actually out of town. And so when she came back, we, went over to say hi and everything. And before we left, I'm like, "Hey, Mom, I got some news I'd like to tell you." And it was very exciting, but also very emotional at the same time. We probably hugged each other for, it seemed like, 15, 20 minutes, right. Just because that place means a lot to my family. And then knowing I'm going to the same place that her dad went, and then all of those thoughts, that was a place he went to. That's the last time I hugged him. That's the last time I talked to him. So all of those, I would say traumas came back. So, But she, my parents have always been very supportive of what I've done. And, but we also aren't afraid to talk about, hey, you know, you need to go. But this might be hard on a mama, right?
Sure.
But I know you've always talked about and always wanted to go. So I support you, and I hope that it is all that you want it to be. So
Tyler, you were the first person from your immediate family that had been back to Honduras since that happened. Is that right?
So I actually, after I got back, my uncle, I found this out after I got back. My uncle went 3 years after that, my uncle Phil Brown. Mm-hmm. So him and myself are the only ones that have gone back. So wow. I did find that out after coming back from the trip, just sharing stories with my family. So, my uncle and myself, are the only ones that have gone back since.
So we go from Grandpa Rudy, spending time in Honduras, shared even would sleep where tell me about the one experience you said where he slept at when he was.
Yeah. So obviously when I went and told my grandmother about this, she would, you know, she began to tell stories. She's like, yeah, you know, your poppy, he would go by himself and then just sleep wherever he could. Wow. And if that meant underneath a tree, that, you know, he was crazy. And I talk to my wife often, like, man, and my mom, like, I would love to just be in a room with him and just pick his brain, because he seems like, one, he loved the Lord and just crazy, you know, and do whatever it took. So yeah, he would sleep outside underneath trees and wake up and then go do his thing, you wow. know, and just finding out that he took it upon himself to, hey, I'm going to go by myself for this first trip.
Right.
So, but then would come back and take two people with him, come back, take five people with him. And then just, and it all started like that. So.
Well, for our listeners too, Faith Home Honduras for us, probably around 1995 is whenever we really had a focus emphasis there. But long before that, Portland Association in Portland, Tennessee area would send people, Grandpa Rudy being one of those people. So Rudy's wife, Grandma, is still living. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. She is actually battling cancer wow. right now. But we actually... which it's March 20th now. So yesterday we actually got some good news that nothing is spreading.
Good.
She's so strong. But yeah, she's still living and, doing great. I mean, she's had a couple, I mean, this is the third time I believe she's had cancer since that. So, but she is a trooper and a very strong woman. Wow. So, yes, sir.
And again, we're talking about legacy today. So we start with your grandpa, minister, missionary. Your father is a minister now. So that would be Rudy's son-in-law, correct?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And then we go to you, Tyler. again, the accident that happened with Rudy, again, January 25th, 1998, happens in a community called Pimienta. And so... I was privileged to lead the team with Tyler and a few others to Honduras mm-hmm. at the airport. As soon as we get there, it just so happens that we meet up with a friend of mine, Saul Mejia, that actually started the church at Pimienta. And so I was able to introduce him to Tyler. Tyler, what was that like even before we even get to Faith Home to meet him?
Yeah, that was, I would say that's when I kind of started having like a peace of mind, truthfully, because when we landed, I was like, okay, we're here, you know, and this, all of the thoughts in my head. But it's just like immediately almost like, wow, his story and his legacy, as we're talking about today, like it's still living on, you right. know? And honestly, that was probably stories such as that. I mean, there's plenty more right. through our trip. And I was able to share with my mom, like, hey, it wasn't just an accident that people have moved on, you know, or, it wasn't. And when I went back and told my mom some of these things, like, you know, as soon as we,
right.
As soon as we landed, yeah. it was like, yeah, I know. I'm like, what? So that was honestly very comforting,
sure.
for myself and what I was able to share with my mom. When we got back. Yeah. So that was like, to start the trip off like right, Jim, that was,
I would tell you, I set it up that way, but it was all God, not me.
So. Yeah, man. It's like, we can't make this stuff up, man.
And so we get to, Faith Home Campus. For those, listening, the team house on Faith Home Campus is named in honor of Tyler's grandpa. And so Tyler, talk about, you go inside the team house, thousands of miles away from home, and you see a plaque. What did that do to you?
I'm getting chills just thinking about it again. I didn't know what to expect when we walked in there. And so, like, I was just kind of looking around, you know, and just thinking in my head, like, wow, you know, these are this is the same area that he walked and, you know, all those things. And then, you know, I'll turn around and I see that and I'm just like staring at it because, you know, I see pictures and I was able to see a lot of pictures before I went there of him and while he was there. And then again, going thousands of miles away from my house and boom, that was on the wall. And that was very humbling and very emotional just because, you know, you hear all the stories and you hear, but I got to see.
Right.
And not only, you know, again, back to what I shared earlier, you know, like the impact that he made, it's hard to even put in words and describe, you know, when I think about, you hear about plaques or memorials and stuff like that, you know, special people get those, right, you know, not right, everybody gets that. Right. And then being able to see that and read, and knowing it's like, man, I'm staying in his house, you
right,
know,
right.
It was very special just because, again, I've heard a lot. And now I was able to go see, and then being able to sit in that for a minute was really good.
And then, shortly after that, we were able to travel to Pimienta and see the church that's there now. And, another neat experience, Mauricio, which is our tour guide and Miguel, there's a guy that he works at Faith Home. Isn't that right, Tyler? That was from that area. And he was able to, direct Mauricio to the exact spot because the location, when your grandpa was traveling, it was a 2-lane road. Now it's a 4-lane road with the divider in the center. And so even a guy that just so happened to know where the accident happened. So you were able to see the journey, the last journey that that your grandfather took. What was it like to even see the church that's there now?
That was, to see the church was super cool. And visiting that spot, I'm always like, I'm the type of person, I want to go to the area, you know, go to the spot. And honestly, with the connection that Mauricio and Miguel had with that other gentleman, like I was even able to take that story back to my mom too. It's like, hey, there's an older gentleman that knows about the story too. And she's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, mama. Like this is like that story is still active today, you know, even to like the local people there who live there, like they know about it, you know, and like they took us to the spot. And so I truly feel in my heart that my grandpa, he did what he did, one, because he loved the Lord with his entire heart, mind, and soul. And then he also loved his neighbor. And that also means his, you know, neighbor right next, you know, right beside him, or his neighbor thousands of miles away. And so that to me speaks of who he was as a person and literally willing to give his life up for that. Was and be able to see the fruit from that too.
Right.
And not just for the sake of doing it because he wanted his name to be known. I mean, he, from that trip, it's just like, no, he did what he did because he loved the Lord and he wanted people to, love the Lord, and he loved the Lord so much. He was willing to tell everybody and anybody about it or go sleep under a tree, you know, he didn't care. He lived on mission. And he lived on purpose and for a purpose. And it wasn't for his name's sake, but it was for the Lord's.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to me, that's when I think about our kind of our conversation today of like missional legacy, not just leaving a legacy. Because I think we hear that often, right? I want to leave a legacy. You know, I want to be known for this, this, or this. But always ask, like, why though? Is it for the sake of your name, or is it legitimately for the sake of Jesus's name and what he does through you? And I truly believe that was my grandfather's heart. You know, I'm available, and God, whatever you do through me, that's in your hands. But I'm going to give my life to this, literally.
Right. I think, you know, if we stop the story right here, it's like, Rudy's grandson went to Honduras, experienced where his grandfather went, relived some of that. But the story doesn't end there. Part of it, the continue with the legacy, is continuing to do the ministry. And so we come back from Pimienta Saturday and Sunday. We have a youth conference, probably about 200 youth that are there. Aaron Dickinson from Real Life Church preaches Saturday night. Wonderful worship service. Two people find Jesus. We have a number of people speaking Sunday. You do the last sermon. Describe what it was like to be preaching in Honduras.
I didn't know what to expect.
This is your first time with an interpreter too, right?
Yes, sir. Yes. So there was all of the, I can put pressures on myself. Mm-hmm. So I tried to, like, hey, block those things out and just, you know, whatever God has planned, that's what we're going to do, man. So first time speaking with an interpreter. So there was that too. And there's like a cadence, sure, you know, so I'm, sure, you know, in my head trying to, like, okay. But once we started going, it was like, all right, this is all yours.
Yes.
I'm out of the way. I'm not going to worry about this stuff. And I want Jesus to just do what he is going to do. And, I'm just grateful to be a part of it. But in that moment, when we were, you know, when I was speaking, and then what was her name?
Karen.
Jim.
Karen.
And then she would translate. And then, so there's like, I would speak, she would translate, then they would respond. And so there's like this, wow, like, it's the gospel is multi, like, it can reach all languages, all tongues, all people. And that was one moment for me of like, we serve an almighty God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All races, all tongues, all everything. Preaching there, again, just honored. And I felt such a privilege because, you know, when we were talking about the trip initially, it was like, you know, going and then realizing, oh, I'm going to be involved with this.
Right.
And then, so again, just like, holy cow, you know, I get to go and do, you know, what my grandfather was able to do and hear and be a, I guess I'll continue in that story, you know,
right,
and then
right.
12 students gave their heart and life, to Christ that night.
Yes.
And there was a moment, afterwards during the response time, I was playing guitar and just looking and just, it's like, I got to see, what he saw and what he was able to be a part of. And worshiping one God. And there was just a moment. It was like, wow. Yeah. So kids were responding. People were praying. Those of us from America were praying for those in Honduras and vice versa. And it's like, it just a really beautiful picture of the church.
Absolutely.
In a way that I have never seen before.
Right.
Because it doesn't, I think sometimes, in America, we had the tendency to overcomplicate things, right? And the gospel is so simple.
Right.
And we don't have to, you know, there are things that we worry about that we really don't need to worry about.
Right.
I'm not saying
right.
not operate in excellence, but Jesus, he just needs our availability, you know, and that's it. He just needs us to be available and then what that looks like. And I believe that helped me coming back, you know, of like, you know, he just needs our yes,
that's
and
right.
he will take care of the rest.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
So,
and what was, I think, a neat part, talking about continuing the story of those 12 individuals who found Christ, who became believers on Sunday, six of them, half of them on Sunday, were from Pimienta Church. And so we have all these other churches that were involved too. And so, so God's not through at Pimienta either. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't end with Rudy Braswell dying. You know, and the ministry there continues on. During the invitation, whenever you and Tia were singing in English and Karen and others were singing in Spanish, I mean, I do think that's a Book of Acts moment where everybody heard in their own language.
Yes.
And so, so Tyler, you and your wife, Lindsay was able to go with you too. And I know that was a neat part. And you guys have how many children?
We have three kids, Abigail, Zeke, and Chandler.
And what are their ages?
Oh, Jim. They are, Abigail is, man, this is terrible.
just speak confidently. Nobody will know otherwise.
Yeah, she's six. Zeke will be four this year in October. And Chan is actually about to turn two in April. So
getting ready for the terrible twos then.
Woo!
And you know, we're talking missional legacy. How important is it for you? I know this answer, but how important is it for you and Lindsay, for your children to see you carry out your faith?
Yeah, I believe this wholeheartedly. I believe that us as parents, it is our responsibility to be, to disciple our kids. It's not anyone else's, you know, it's not the church's responsibility to make sure that my children are being discipled. So we do take that very seriously. And I'll be in full transparency. It's been kind of hard because of how old our kids are, you know, sitting at around the dinner table on a Sunday night with a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, like Abigail, she's starting to, hey, we can work with this, you know, but when one's on the kitchen table, this one's screaming, it's like, what are we doing? You know? But I am excited to pass down these stories. And like, we were able to come home, my daughter, Abigail, she loves school. So like while we were at the school there at Faith Home, you know, I was showing her pictures and being able to talk about the kids there. And so like me and Lindsay, we were like, one, we want to go back. And two, like, we were like, Abigail, we would love to take you, you know, we can have conversations with her. Zeke, it's hard sometimes.
Right.
Like, hey, we would love to take you there and one day and love on those kids and students and was just able to kind of share our heart. And kind of share, you know, hey, we're very privileged here in America. You know, you have a mom and daddy here at home. You know, we have a home. You get to go to school. You know, we don't have the things that they worry about over there. You know, we might not have to worry about over here as much or whatever. And so we're going over to help them and help talk to them about Jesus and just love on them. You know,
right.
And so me and Lindsay have talked like we would love to take our kids one day when they're old enough, you know, because it's such an impact on our life. So me and Lindsay are ready to go back and then, and then we want to bring our kids along for that. Being again, missional, living on mission and, you know, which we can do here. But I think there's different secondary callings on people's life. So, and if that is something that God has put on your heart to do is go over, to a different country to love on those people, then, I encourage to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and so for you, this wasn't just a bucket list. Okay. I've been to Honduras. Now I can be, would you say you're forever changed now because of that trip?
100%. Yeah. And for, more reasons than we probably have time to talk about, but 100%. Honestly, from the conversations that I've had with my mom, and I'm looking forward to, there's been some sickness hit our house. So I hadn't been able to go see my grandmother yet because of her, her illness. I don't want to get her sick with her cancer and stuff. So, honestly, it brought closure and, a peace of mind to myself, but I also, again, sharing stories with my mom, from our trip, like, again, it was bigger than an accident, you know, it's bigger than, just someone who was in a wreck, you know, like his story is still living and is active today, you know?
Right.
So my prayer was to help bring any kind of clarity or a peace of mind, that was one of my prayers while we were going over there, and forever changed. Absolutely. I mean, those, I remember sitting there after the last session and, you know, kids are playing soccer, you know, sitting up on the hill, and it's beautiful there, by the way. The natural beauty is incredible. And you know, we're eating our fruit cup, kids are playing soccer, you know, and it's like, man, this is it, you know, there's nothing complicated about this at all. And, you know, enjoying God's beauty and having fun with each other. And, that was one of those moments too, playing basketball with the kids, you know, we were using Google Translate, trying to talk to them and doing the best we could, but, which has got the entire group wanting to learn Spanish now. But 100% forever changed. 100%. Again, I could talk for hours.
So what was your impression of the banana soda?
So you hyped it up. And see, a lot of times people have the tendency of overselling stuff.
Not me, but yeah, some people do. But go ahead.
Some people. It's like, oh, okay, you know, it's probably okay. But the banana soda is, I think we need that here. The natural sugar, the sugar cane, it's great. It's great.
I appreciate you saying that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You speak the truth. No. I mean, you have to speak the truth.
It's facts. So,
sadly, there's some people that just don't appreciate the banana soda. And
yeah. I mean, well, it's okay for them to be wrong.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's a mission. And so, yeah, as we were preparing for this, Tyler, I can't help but think, you know, the Bible talks about the sins of the father passed to the third and fourth generation, but I also think that the blessings of the father, the relationship of the father passed on. And so it's just been neat. Of course, I've been a lifelong General Baptist, but to hear the Rudy Braswell story and then to meet his grandson that's also involved in ministry, it's just a neat thing, because the legacy is not that your grandpa traveled to Honduras. The legacy is he was called by God to share the good news, and he shared that good news. And it's continued on. He shared that good news with his daughter, your mom. Mm-hmm. She shared it with her son, you. And it continues on, and God continues to move. Tyler, is there anything else you want to share before we end today?
I just want to say, you know, thank you. That's the first word that comes to mind. It is the importance of passing down the gospel to not just the next generation holistically, but like to our kids.
Right.
You know, I just think, you know, what if my dad never answered the call, you know, to what God put on his life? Or, you know, we could live in the what ifs, but I am living proof of generational yeses and submitting their life to Jesus. You know, I would have never probably gone on this trip if, we'll just go to my grandpa, if he would have never said yes.
Right,
and then
right.
not only saying yes to one, following Jesus, but then living as if Jesus were him wherever he went, you know, in America.
Wherever he went, yes.
Wherever he went. And so it's like, I just want to say thank you to him and my parents. And I really hope that, you know, me and Lindsay talk all the time, and I'll ask him, like, am I a good dad? You know, it's like this, I don't want the gospel to stop with me
or my kids. Right.
You know, at the end of the day, they, you know, I just want to try to live my life in such a way that it might not always be the things that I say or those things, but just who I am as a person.
Right.
And I hope who I am as a follower of Christ, a husband and a dad, that speaks, okay, Jesus is worth following for me too, you know, and I look forward to the days to having those conversations with my kids. But yeah, I would say just grateful, honestly, Jim.
Good. And again, I was privileged to walk through that part of the journey with you. It was neat to see the grandson being blessed by the,
yes. And I would say thank you too. I said, because, you know, again, it wasn't just there, you know, we were there, we had a purpose, there were things that we were doing, all those things. But you did so good with not just, you know, business only, you know, you made me feel very valued and you were there, through, you know, if we needed to sit in a moment, we sat, you know, taking your time to go visit that area and that church, you know, truthfully, I didn't know that's, maybe we shared earlier, but like, I didn't realize the half of the kids who got saved that night that I spoke were from that church. Yes. I knew from one church.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So just those slowing down moments, I'm grateful for you. And I would encourage anybody, if you have not gone on a trip with Jim Pratt, you are missing out for multiple reasons. So,
I'll pay you later for saying that. No, for those listening, if you would like more information, contact me at jim.pratt@generalbaptist.com. But again, don't miss what Tyler mentioned. The legacy is not going on a mission trip. The legacy is being on mission. And it's not just over there, but it's, you know, it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. And your Jerusalem might be your own family. And so
that's good.
Tyler, I pray for you. I mean, I have a daughter and son-in-law that are serving God and have three grandsons, and I want them to see in their paw, as they call me, that he loves Jesus. And I look forward to the day that I could take my grandsons on a mission trip.
But yeah.
For those of you listening, thank you for listening. Tyler, thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
And sharing from the heart.
No, thank you guys.
Thank you. God bless you each for listening, and go and be a blessing to others wherever you're at. Thank you.